Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so, of course, the very next day, some of you may have had this experience when you think it applies to somebody else. The very next day, some things happened in my life for which I was complaining about. And I didn't get far into my complaints when this verse just exploded into my mind. And those last two words were just like flashing lights, for you. And it was just a couple of days later that Russ asked me to preach. And as I was thinking about this verse, it occurred to me how relevant and how applicable this verse really is. Because that for you isn't just for me or my family, but it's for each one of you here tonight. It's for you. And it's relevant because we live in a society that is so plagued by ingratitude. I'm sure that if we were to pause right now, we could have quite a sharing time and do a lot of complaining about the ungrateful world that we live in. If you go to the store, you know, you're behind people in the line or in traffic, or if you watch the evening news, I mean, it's just the world is full of complaining and ingratitude, so it's very, very relevant. Of course, that shouldn't surprise us because the Word of God warned us that the world would become like this. Paul tells Timothy that, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. So what a horrible list, and right in the middle of it is being ungrateful. You remember that Paul told the Philippians that they were to do all things without complaining and arguing or grumbling. And he said that they should do that so that they could shine as lights in the world, because the world, he said, is crooked and twisted. The reason they are so full of ingratitude is because they're crooked and twisted, and we should shine. We should be different and shine as lights in the world that we live in. So because this whole concept of being grateful is so relevant and applicable, let's look at it a little bit this evening. Before we get into the verse, I want to say a few interesting things about the context that we find it in. First thing is to remember is that he's saying this to the Thessalonians, who at the very moment that Paul was writing it were experiencing afflictions and persecutions. Just look with me for a minute at a few verses. Chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction and with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And then also down to chapter 2, verse 14. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. And he goes on to describe more of that. And then jump down to chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer afflictions, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. And not only were they suffering afflictions and persecutions, but they were suffering from the loss of loved ones. In chapter 4, verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed brothers about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So you get the point that Paul was speaking this idea of giving thanks in all things to a group of people who had, humanly speaking, little reason to give thanks. They were suffering persecutions and afflictions. And Paul doesn't just say to them, well, don't worry, you know, things are going to get better, or, you know, that's so unfair, you need to find a good lawyer. He says to them, what? Give thanks. In all circumstances, give thanks. Second point about the context is that you remember that Paul was concerned, so concerned about the Thessalonians, that he had sent Timothy. We just read that. He sent Timothy to check on them. And Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians after Timothy had come back with his report. And apparently in Timothy's report to Paul, most of it was positive about the Thessalonians. And so in the first three chapters, Paul, in a sense, is giving them a pat on the back that they're doing a good job. But there were apparently some things that Paul was concerned about. And so in chapters 4 and 5, Paul is speaking to some of those things that concern him. So if chapters 1 to 3 is a pat on the back, in a sense, chapters 4 and 5 is a kick in the pants to do better in some certain situations that he goes over with them. And there's one idea that is woven into the fabric of these two chapters, and that is the idea to excel, to make progress, and to persist in certain areas of your Christian life. Look at how Paul says it. I really like this. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Finally, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so," what? "More and more." More and more. And he comes back to that idea again later in chapter 4, verse 9. "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. We urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." So this whole idea of more and more of excelling in our Christian life is woven all the way through these chapters, and he's going to apply that to the area of giving thanks, to do it more and more, to grow in the area, in that area, and become more persistent and more consistent. To make progress and persistence in that area. So to live a life that pleases God in all areas, including the giving of thanks, that should grow in quality and quantity. So what I want to accomplish tonight, in a sense, is to give all of us a kick in the pants to make progress in this area of our Christian lives, that of giving thanks. One other thing about context is to look at what Paul has just been talking about. And let's read that beginning in chapter 5, verse 1. Paul had just said, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." So Paul is telling them that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, for us Christians, it's not going to be like unbelievers. For unbelievers, it's going to be like a thief. It's going to be an unwelcome surprise. They're going to say, what's happening? But for us, what are we going to say? We're not going to say, what's happening? We're going to say, what? Finally, this is what we've been waiting for. It's not a surprise. And so this whole idea of being an expectant Christian is really part of the DNA of the whole book of 1 Thessalonians. And what Paul is trying to say, one of the things he's saying to them is that the second coming isn't just about the future. It doesn't have to do just with the future, but the second coming has everything to do with how you live your life now. And if you really believe that he's coming back, then you will be able to give thanks. In fact, if he's not coming back, then the world has a right, and we have every reason to complain and whine and grumble and be ungrateful. So Jesus is coming back. That's one of his main themes in this book. So let's look at this verse 18. The first thing, well, let me read it first again. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First thing that strikes me about this verse is its simplicity. You know, Peter says of Paul at one time that sometimes Paul writes of things that are difficult to understand. But not here. Paul is very straightforward and clear. As a matter of fact, it's so simple, so clear, that if you try to define it and explain it too much, you run the risk of complicating what is already so clear. But let's break it down a little bit. Give thanks. Very clearly, that's expressions of gratitude that flow from a grateful heart. Expressions of gratitude flowing from a grateful heart to God. It's a command that we're to continually obey. In all circumstances, literally in all, just in all, everything, good things, bad things, mundane things, no exceptions, in all things, in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. You would think that the fact that it's a command for us to give thanks would be enough to know that it's God's will for us, but Paul wants to emphasize that it's not just the circumstances themselves that are God's will for us, but it's our response to those circumstances that's God's will. So it's God's will for us to respond in the giving of thanks. And you remember that Romans 12:1 tells us that his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. I often think of that song, that says, it has a line in it that says, what peace we often forfeit because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. I would give some of you guys an assignment who can write songs. If you could write a verse about what we forfeit because we don't give thanks in everything. So it's not we give thanks when it's because it's God's will. When we don't, we are forfeiting his blessing to us in that. And then it says, give thanks. Giving thanks is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We'll come back to this in Christ Jesus a little later, but for now, let me just say that at the moment of conversion, we are placed in Christ Jesus. And so from that moment on, it's God's will for us and God's command to us to give thanks in all circumstances. Nobody's exempted. You're not too young, not too old, not too new of a Christian. It's for everybody to give thanks in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, we already mentioned those last two words, very convicting words, for you. For you. It's not for the person beside you, just, or for the person you think it applies to, but it's for you. But as simple as this verse seems to be, there's one word in it that gives me a lot of trouble. Can you guess what that word is? It's a little word. It's the word in. The word in. Actually, in all things. I guess in appears a couple of times in there, but in all things, that little word in, actually in the Greek text, that word is the very first word in the verse. Paul is emphasizing, he puts it first to emphasize that it's in all things, in all circumstances, that we're to give thanks. When I was in Greek class, our Greek professor, whenever we would be having a test or he would be teaching us on prepositions, he would always give us a circle. And we would have to place the Greek prepositions in relationship to that circle. So I brought you a circle tonight. Okay, so you can imagine different prepositions. There is a preposition that says before, after, above, below, out of, out, into. Okay, all those different prepositions. If you take this preposition in, where would you place it in relationship to the circle? Okay, obviously, right? Right in it. Okay, so what is Paul telling the Thessalonians who are at that moment experiencing tribulations and sufferings? He's saying to them, in all circumstances, in your circumstance, right now, give thanks. It's a lot easier, isn't it, to give thanks after it's over or before it happens, but in the circumstance, Paul says we should give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. It reminds me of the time when Paul and Silas were in Philippi. You remember that they were arrested and they were beaten and put in shackles and thrown into the prison. And that very night, what were they doing? They were singing and praising God in their circumstance. Right when it was happening in it, they were praising God. And of course, the Thessalonians were in their circumstance and God, very difficult circumstance, that God was telling them to give thanks in it. That doesn't solve all my problems, though, with that little word in, because my mind begins to play games with it. It happens something like this. You know, it says in all circumstances. It doesn't say for all circumstances. So does, you know, in all circumstances include the circumstance that I'm in, that I should give thanks for that? It's a lot easier for me anyway, when I'm in it, to think of things outside of that circumstance I'm in for which I can give thanks. There are a lot of things out there, but do I have to give thanks for that circumstance? Some of you are shaking your head, yes, okay? And of course, that would imply what Paul is implying. If this circle represents your circumstance, and he says, in your circumstance, he's very definitely implying that it's not just things outside it, but in the sphere of this circumstance, that's when we're giving thanks, that's what we're giving thanks for. In all things, give thanks. And of course, you can, I'm sure, think of a lot of verses. I'm going to read you a couple, but you can think of a lot of verses that give us reasons why we can give thanks for that circumstance. Here are just a couple. 1 Peter 6, 6 and 7 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The other one is Romans 8:28, very familiar verse, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. I love the way a few of these other men say it. Listen to a few of those. Linsky says, if everything actually conspires to do us good, how can we do otherwise than to give thanks? Erwin Lutzer says, it's only when we choose to give praise for the rough spots in life that we begin to see them from God's perspective. If we don't give thanks in all things, we are living in unbelief, for we are assuming that our circumstances are not controlled by a God who loves us. And Albert Barnes says, a man owes a debt of obligation to him for anything which will recall him from his wanderings and which prepare him for heaven. And he says, are there any dealings of God with us which do not contemplate such an end? If you're still unconvinced, of course, you can check out Ephesians 5:18-20, which says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Eddy says, there is nothing, listen to this quote, it's really good, there is nothing on this side of eternal punishment that ought not fill us with thankfulness. Do you know anybody who's like that? Most of us probably do, and it's usually somebody who's older and who has very little to be thankful for, isn't it? When I was growing up in our church, there was an elderly lady who used to pray for me. And of course I got older and I went off to college and got married. And when I came back to Sarasota, by that time she was in a nursing home. And Ruth and I would go and visit her quite often. And there was no, humanly speaking, there was no reason she had left in this life to give thanks. But when you would go and visit her, she just exuded gratitude and praise. And we would always go wanting to encourage her, but we always came away being encouraged by her. When I think of people like that and what Paul's telling us to do here, I think, well, you know, that's just her, right? That's just her personality. That's just the way she is. But you know what? That's not me. I can't do that. I don't do that. And when I get to that point of saying I can't, I'm beginning to get to the reality of this verse. Some of you know that I work with Calvin Atmore. And this past week, one day I was having a particularly difficult time with a customer, and it was lasting for several days. It was going on, and Calvin was taking a little bit too much pleasure in my circumstance. And so this one time I just turned to him and I said, Calvin, I know what's happening here. God, he said, you know I'm preaching Sunday night, and I told him what I was preaching on. I said, God has given me an opportunity to practice and to put into practice what I'm going to preach on. And that night I went home and there were some other things for which I didn't want to give thanks. And then some more things. And finally I realized God wasn't giving me a chance to practice. He was trying to show me that I can't do it. It doesn't matter how much I practice, because giving thanks, just like everything else in the Christian life, is supernatural. It's a work of God's grace in our lives. It's not something that I can just do on my own. I was recently working in somebody's house, and I noticed books. Anyway, I noticed this book, and I noticed that it was an important book because of where I saw it. It was in their bathroom. And so this, there was this book, and the title of the book, get the title of this book. Maybe you know more about it than I do, but all I know is the title. It said, the title of it was The Art of Forgiveness, Loving Kindness, and Peace. The Art of Forgiveness, Loving Kindness, and Peace. And it just really, and I was working on this verse at that time, and it just dawned on me, it just hit me that all of those things of the Christian life, those things that we're supposed to do in our Christian life, they're all supernatural. And we do a great disservice to God and to His Word when we try to reduce it down to something that we can do. Because it doesn't matter how much I, you know, if I know all the right methods or whatever, I can't do it apart from Jesus Christ. And look at this, what the verse says, because it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Where? How? In Christ Jesus. If you take Christ Jesus out of that verse, we are destined, we are doomed to be just like the world. Because the only way we can obey this verse and give thanks in all circumstances is if it is through the power of Jesus Christ in us, His grace and His grace alone. True gratitude is a work of God's grace in our hearts, nothing less. So before I quit tonight, let me give you a few things to remember of how to make progress in this area of the grace of gratitude. First thing is to start where I had to start when I realized that I was complaining, and that is to repent. We have to call it what it is, sin, and turn from it. And secondly, aim and pray for progress and persistence, like Paul has been saying in this whole section of the scripture of 1 Thessalonians, is to do it more and more. Aim and pray for progress and persistence. Thirdly, encourage yourself often in the truth of the soon return of Jesus. Can you imagine a bride getting ready for her wedding, complaining all the time about it? I mean, there's no way she could do that, right? Because her man is worth it. Well, maybe the analogy breaks down at that point, but Jesus is worth it, isn't he? He is worth it. And he's worth waiting for, as the hymn writer said, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Fourth, practice all three imperatives. We're only looking at one of them tonight, but if you look at the context here, starting in verse 16, there are three commands. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. All three of them, and I think all three have to go together. You can't separate them. If you do rejoice and pray, you're not going to lack for something to give thanks for. Spurgeon said, when rejoicing and prayer are married, their offspring is thankfulness. Fifthly, remind yourself often of the truths and verses concerning the sovereignty of God. He is in control of our lives, and everything that He does is working to fulfill His purpose in us and in our world. Sixth, and I haven't said much about this, but share in the corporate life and fellowship of the church. Remember that this epistle, 1 Thessalonians, was written to a local church, and this command to give thanks in all things is actually plural. He's saying, you, plural, you congregation, give thanks in all things. And our fellowship together is part of how God works, part of how He works these godly characteristics and habits in our lives is through us together giving thanks. So share in the corporate life and fellowship of the church. Seventh, and lastly, and most importantly, is to cultivate your relationship with Jesus. The grace, because the grace and the power to change us, and that's what we need, is to be changed. The grace and the power to change us only comes from Him. Well, since Giving thanks in all circumstances is a supernatural work of God in our lives. Let me leave you with this promise, which is the benediction of the book in verses 23 and 24. And this will be our benediction tonight. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The Lord bless you and give you a thankful week. Thank you. You're dismissed.